Welcome to another episode of AI Willpower Business. I've got a very unique episode today. I'm joined by three other young entrepreneurs like myself who went through the Open Ground program. It's a program that Bill Smale started, helping young entrepreneurs in high school get started on their entrepreneurial journey. We talk about all their different businesses, what they're doing now, what their experience of the program was. It's actually our longest episode so far, so it's definitely going to be one to watch. Hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back. We've got a really exciting episode for you today. As you can see, we have a slightly different setup this time with three guests who are much closer in age to me. And that's because this episode is sponsored by Open Ground. A big thank you to Bill Smale and Open Ground for making this happen. It's going to be a fantastic conversation with three other great young entrepreneurs, so stay tuned. So firstly, for those who may not be familiar, Open Ground is an innovative entrepreneurship program founded and primarily funded by Bill Smale, successful entrepreneur. I had Bill on the podcast a few weeks ago, so if you want to learn more about why he wanted to start this program, how it came off the ground, definitely be sure to check that episode out. Link will be in the description. Open Ground is currently being run at Westlake Boys High School for Year 13 students. It occupies 2 out of the 6 periods of the school day and is designed to foster entrepreneurial skills, encourage personal growth, and equip students with the confidence and knowledge to pursue their entrepreneurial endeavors. But it's much more than just a typical school program. Firstly, it's not run by a normal school teacher. The current program director is Ant Ford, who has decades of real-world business experience and provides support that a normal teacher just couldn't. He is a real asset to the program and a key contribution to its success. So each student is paired up with a mentor who is also a real-world business person, providing guidance and advice throughout the year. A range of successful entrepreneurs come on as guest speakers to provide valuable insights, and the school's extensive network makes it easy for students to connect with the right people to help their businesses thrive and also forge lifelong connections. Students also get the opportunity to participate in an annual Dragon's Den, where they can pitch their ideas to real investors and get the opportunity to secure funding. And that's just the beginning. So Open Ground is now in its third year, and it has been instrumental in my own journey. I completed the program in its second year running, during which I founded Willbot, and it has been crucial in helping me get to where I am today. So today I'm joined by Polo, who is an alumnus of Open Ground's first year. Polo is the founder of Your Date, which he started in Open Ground and continues to run, and he is also the co-founder of Leadcraft Digital. Also joined by Ollie. Ollie completed Open Ground in its second year alongside me. He is the founder of Clean Properties, a commercial exterior cleaning company. He started during Open Ground and is still running, and is also currently operations director at Chargeagogo New Zealand. And also Euro, a current Open Ground student. Euro is running his business he had before Open Ground, Bloomflower, and he is seeing rapid growth. How are we all doing today, boys?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Very excited.
Yeah?
I'm very excited.
Awesome. Yeah, there was a bit of a long monologue there, but I just wanted to, you know, give everyone a bit of context about what Open Ground is. So I think it's best to start off with, we probably just, you know, hear from you guys a bit, talk about what you did in Open Ground / what are you doing in Open Ground, and you know what you're working on now. So let's start with you, Polo, first year student.
Hey, Star. Okay, all good. So kind of I'll go a bit further back in Open Ground. I had never really seen myself as a business person or like entrepreneur kind of guy. I was kind of into coding and computers. But I sold candy at school and did other side hustle gigs as well. Mm-hmm. And funny story is I went to a tech conference with my dad because I was, trying to see what career I can get into in tech. And then some random lady came up to me and asked me, oh, what school do you go to? Oh, Westlake Boys. Oh, there's this Open Ground program that's coming up, eh? And then I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And my dad heard that. He was like, what do you mean you're not going to do this entrepreneurship program? It's going to change your life, right?
Yes.
So we talked in the car. He convinced me. Just started Open Ground and never looked back since. And it's funny because in that same car ride, that's how I got the idea for Your Date. And kind of going into having to present and getting into Open Ground, I didn't have any other ideas, so I just went with Your Date. And yeah, that's going super well now. Worked super hard throughout the year, in before anyone else and out before out after, stayed in and morning teas and lunchtime, just worked my ass off. It's paid off really well because now I don't want to do anything else. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
That's really cool, man. And I didn't actually know that story about you weren't going to do Open Ground at the start and whatnot.
Close. It's kind of surprised because you're quite entrepreneurial.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just never like unleashed it, I guess.
Yeah.
Always had it in me, but I just never like got the chance to express it, I guess.
Yeah, and could you tell a little bit more about what your date actually is in case people haven't heard about it?
Yeah, 100%. So your date is a tailored date box. So a box gets sent to a couple's house with questions, games, activities, and they can use that when they're at a restaurant or at a picnic or at home. And it's just a way better alternative to the usual gifts. So you get your partner flowers and chocolates. It's just the same, right?
Yeah.
And this gift kind of helps them connect with each other better, ask each other some deep questions, and escape the norm.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that. I've done it.
Customer right here. Yeah. That's great.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's like, it's been blowing up on socials and stuff like that. And how many people you got working under you now? small.
Good couple of people. Got them mainly through uni students. I just hustle them and be like, oh, you want to do my social media? Like, and they're just like, okay.
Yeah. Three years in, right? It's still going.
I think nearly three years, yeah.
Wow. How many different versions of the box do you have? Because it's changed it a little bit.
Yeah, we're actually making a new one.
A new one,
We're hopefully going to partner with, I don't know if I can say this, Hikoko for a med spa box. So there's
going to
be like face masks.
Oh, that's cool. Because didn't you start where it was kind of something that you did in partnership with restaurants?
Yeah, so started off partnering with restaurants, and that was just operationally a bit difficult.
Yeah.
And also, I think my mission was to help couples escape the norm. And that doesn't have to be with a large amount of money. And that kind of money thing, you know, spending $250 in a restaurant, that was kind of a barrier for them to spend more time with each other. So it didn't make sense for me.
I was surprised at the price because it's only like $40 or $50, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember when I did it with my girlfriend, like it was like 3 or 4 hours of fun, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely a cheap way to have a good night,
Make that an ad.
Yeah.
Anyone need a fun date night, hit up your date.
100%.
Cool.
And you've got friend boxes as well, right? You don't need
friend
to...
box as well. Yeah.
Oh, there's friend box. Okay. Yeah. No, so you start in the friend zone and then you work your way up.
No, not really.
One for the bros.
You're just like, one for the bros.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. No, that's really cool, Paulo. Thanks for sharing that. So, yeah, great to see you're still running that. And I know you're also doing your lead craft stuff, which
that's taken up most of my time now, actually.
Yeah.
If you had a look at my, I don't know if you've seen my like schedule, but man, it is like, I don't want my parents to hear this, but like 10% school and 90% like business.
I feel that. Yeah.
Maybe cut that out, eh? No, it's okay. But yeah, that's taken up most of my time. Alex actually was from Open Ground.
Yep.
And I had not really a stalk, but you know, I can see who's hard workers in the class and I remember them and I always want to keep in contact with them. And so I did. And then we got to talking, wanted to build an agency or another business, and kind of found out he was super hardworking, had the same values and morals, but we were, as in terms of skills, super different.
Which is exactly what you need for a partnership, right?
Yeah, so glad that worked out, and wouldn't want to be with anyone else. Mm. Shout out to Alex.
Are you focusing more on that one versus...
Yeah, at the moment, yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that, Paulo. Now, Ollie, tell us a little bit about
my story. Is a lot
your
shorter.
Story.
Well, I guess for me, kind of the opposite to you, Paulo. I always loved business. You know, growing up, my dad's run multiple businesses, so it was always kind of the main chat around the dinner table. So when I heard of Open Ground, it was just like a no-brainer. You know, and I was kind of considering dropping out of school, and after signing up to Open Ground, there was just no way that I would drop out. And I guess same to you, Paula. I started with like selling candy and stuff at school. Like, Will and I had a little business selling Raro.
That's right.
And so I guess it started with that. And I've always had so many ideas kind of growing up. But the first one that I really kind of took into reality was the Clean Properties, the one that I'm running now. So that started with not my idea. It was actually our friend's idea, Finn, who brought it up to me. And yeah, kind of within a week, had a website going, went and bought just a small pressure washer from... Bunnings, and was just away washing my parents' driveways and my neighbor's driveways, and it just started from that. and now it's kind of progressed into something a lot bigger than that. Kind of got my own set up and started washing more commercial buildings and stuff. So that was kind of my main project through Open Ground. So yeah, that's not really the longest story. I've always loved entrepreneurship, and Open Ground was kind of that place for me to express that and explore it further. And honestly, I don't think I would have gone and actually started a real world business without Open Ground, because it kind of gave you that support and just ability to fail and 100%. It be okay, you know, and you have so many people to bounce ideas off and get real world knowledge off that is just so vital when you're starting up your first startup. So
yeah. And Ollie, we can cut it out if you want, change your mind later, but don't be shy. Like, say some figures that your business has done.
So yeah, it was kind of slow during the start, but I started in about March last year, but probably didn't get up and going like properly until about June.
Yeah.
And that's when I bought, like, kind of built my own trailer setup. And then, yeah, between June and December, probably did over $1,000 in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's quite a lot of costs.
1,000.
100,000.
100,000. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought you said 1,000. I was like,
yeah. Obviously, that's revenue, and there are a lot of costs in a service business like that. But just, you know, seeing those numbers, it just kind of shows you that it is a reality, even if it's something as simple as what I was doing, washing houses and washing windows, you know. But I guess that's what was easy about it, is that it was just, there's only so many ways to wash a house or wash windows, so it was easy to get started. But yeah, definitely progressed further, and then through Open Ground, found out about how much money is in the commercial sector. And so just recently, as you know, we've just been getting into washing like apartments. And
big jobs.
Yeah. So it's going well. And then it was I kind of explored this in Open Ground last year, but obviously my other business, Chargeagogo, which were probably 6 months down the line, which I started with my brother. I haven't talked too much about it.
Explain a bit about it.
Yeah, so it's pretty much, you wouldn't have heard about it, would you?
I have?
Yeah. Oh, and probably talking about it. Yeah. It's pretty much just charging stations that can go in any like event or bar or cafe where people can go up and rent portable chargers for their phones or laptops or whatever. So yeah, we've got 100 units on the way right now, so it should be here in 2 weeks, but that's quite an exciting one for the future.
Nice. Another very cool Open Ground success story. And then, so we've got Polo first year, Ollie second year. Now we're joined by a current student. So we've got a nice diverse range of backstories here. Euro, could you tell us a little bit about what you do in Open Ground and how you started, you know?
It's so cool. It's like, I'm here with like, you know, legends.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, similar to Ollie, I always like business. Mm. I've had 3 drop shipping stores. I'm sure we've all had that phase before.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Open Ground came up and I was about to drop out, I was really thinking about it or going to uni faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, well, I gotta stay. Like, I hated the business studies we did in year 12. It was just not for me. Yeah. And the students in there just weren't really, you know, engaged. So I joined Open Ground. It's such a perfectly wrapped up course that just immerses you into the business space. You just learn so much. You get paired with a mentor. It's so much more. And the business that I work on in Open Ground is Bloomflower, which started originally by my sister a few years ago as a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
But it was dead. It was only a side hustle for her. We sell dried, personalized dried flower arrangements. So like wrist corsages, which has been big for us. We partnered with Westlake this year to, you know, promote it around the school. But it had no sales, no traffic, you know, no website, no product pricing, anything like that. So I just took the time in the school holidays just to revamp everything, just so I had a head start during the school year. And yeah, it's been nothing but great. Yeah.
No, that's great. This is actually Ollie, Paulo, and I all know each other. This is our first time meeting you. But we've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
Yeah, we've heard nothing but good things.
Definitely the success story from this year.
So far, it's looking like. So that's really cool, Euro. And, you know, it looks like your business is really picking up some traction as well. Mm. So it's all online sales and stuff like that?
All online, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. It's a unique idea. I've never seen that before.
Dried flowers,
because they last much longer, right?
Yeah, 101 times longer than fresh flowers.
101 times, yeah.
Which would be how many days?
Years.
Oh, years. Yeah. Oh, right.
That's around 3 years, but we've had an arrangement in our house just sitting there for 5 years, and it looks the same.
No way.
So much longer.
There might be a Your Date Bloomflower collab. Who knows?
Yeah, we're talking about that earlier.
Yeah, we were talking.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you guys do know.
Yeah, apologies.
I came in Open Ground kind of start of this year, and I just talked to them about how hard it's going to be, basically.
Okay.
And then he approached me, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's good to know. So, yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much know my story in Open Ground, but I'll say it again anyway. I had a business that I was running with my friend who was supposed to be a pilot, but no one was hiring pilots in 2020. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, we're working at New World together. He goes, no, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go start a gardening business. And I thought, okay. He went and did a gardening business, and we went from both earning $20 an hour to him now earning like $40, $50. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, he's not that much smarter than me. You know, how's he doing that? So, you know, we kept talking, and I managed to talk him into letting me be a part of the company. He was about 23, I was about 15. So, you know, he's like, what does a 15-year-old know? But I managed to talk him into letting me be a part of the company, and then we just, like, really grew up. I dealt with all the digital side of things, all the marketing, everything like that. So really got a good brand in place, got a good website. And he was dealing with most of the operations side. I mean, I was still on the tools a little bit, but I tried to avoid it as much as possible. And yeah, we grew that for about a year and a half in the first year, kind of similar to Ollie. We did about 100K in revenue. You know, that's just revenue. It's not sales. It's not profit, but it was still a good, it was a lot better than New World, that was for sure. Mm. Managed to get a full-time employee. And then after about a year and a half, he got a job as a pilot. And I decided that I didn't want to be in the gardening industry anymore. So we decided to sell that business. And we managed to sell that business to someone else, which was really good. So we got a good exit out of it. A lot of support from Open Ground along the way through that whole process. And then it was around that time, you know, start of the year, I was getting pretty interested in AI and whatnot. I always been more interested on the digital side of things. So started learning more and more and more about it. And then I thought there's got to be an opportunity here. Started Willbot, started getting the chatbots up and running, managed to do one for Westlake, got one for Wireless Nation, been running it for just over a year now, and it's been really good. Been definitely a learning experience, but enjoying this a lot more than what I was doing before, just because it's something different, completely different industry, but it is much more exciting for me. So that's what I'm doing. So it's cool. We got a diverse range of stories here.
We're doing very different things.
Yeah. And that's interesting to me because the next thing I wanted to talk about with you guys was how this program has changed and evolved. So it's been 3 years, and like we know in startups, the first year, second year, third year, everything can change so much. Open Ground is technically a startup. I know it took Bill, you know, over 10 years to get it up and running, but when it's finally, you never actually know what's going to happen until you get boots on the ground and you start running. So I think what might be the best thing to do is, Paulo, first tell us a little bit about, you know, what Open Ground was like when you did it, you know, how you got paired up with a mentor, the processes throughout the year. And then I think, you know, after you talk about that, maybe we can compare our experiences and see how it's evolved. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was a new experience for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people in that space had already done business, had a business, or had parents that did business. I didn't. So I was mad underdog going into that. And I think that's something that became super useful for me because technically I was dumber than everyone, so I could learn something from everyone. I love being the dumbest in the room. Mm-hmm. I think starting out, I had no idea what I was doing. Literally, I had no idea. And it was funny because I tried to start a date box business, and I had never been on a date before. So I'm trying to start a business that's about dates. I've never done a business or had a date, so what am I doing? But I think the first time that I really started to believe in myself and the idea was the mentor pairing session. So I talked to my really rough idea to some people, and Matt and Jed really like loved it and believed in it. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy how these random people were like, yeah, I want to buy this thing that I haven't even made from a kid who's never been on a date. So the fact that they put trust in me to build them something so early on helped so much. And what else is there?
No, that's really cool. So when you did the mentor pairing, you did the speed dating thing, right?
Yeah.
You went around and you were all you interviewed a whole bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
And then how long was that? Was that in quite close to the start for you?
Or? Yeah, very close to the start.
Okay.
Super close. I think 2 or 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how was it with the balance of, so you got paired up with a mentor, which was good. And then how was it throughout the year? What was the experiences? How often were you guys getting guest speakers in? How much of it was doing NCEA schoolwork compared to business work?
I feel like it was a good balance. Our teacher at the time, Ms. Russell, did a really good job of it.
Yeah.
And we also had 3 periods. Mm. So 3 classes. You guys
That's
only
half
have
the day.
Oh,
well, we had did 3 periods
as well.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys have only 2.
Fortunately.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was 2 open ground sessions or classes, and then 1 on NCEA.
Okay.
But on the one, unless they made me do the NCA, I wouldn't. I just spend time doing my business, do NCA at home.
Yeah.
We had guest speakers around every 2 or 3 weeks, and that was so helpful as well. I did my LinkedIn hustle as per usual, ask them a question, add them, hey, thank you so much. Can I ask you a question? I just do that for everyone.
Great networking opportunity.
Yeah, really good networking. Yeah. That's so useful. And they had some really high caliber of guest speakers
Absolutely.
As well, which is amazing. I think it's just getting better now. Mm. Isn't it?
It is crazy just how many people like really successful entrepreneurs out there that are just will give up their time.
Mm.
Some of them billing out $500, $600, $700 an hour just to give back,
exactly.
which is really cool.
Exactly.
I think. And I think it's especially the people that have been there and done that.
Yeah. I guess it starts from Bill, the founder of it.
Yeah.
It's purely just something that he wanted to do, a passion project just to give back.
Mm.
And yeah, it's so cool how many other people are willing to give up their time as well.
Absolutely. Faith in humanity restored. And then so did you guys get all the schoolwork done fairly quickly, or was it
Yeah, I was never bad at school.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then did you do the Dragon's Den run? Because
yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And that so I missed out on that. And that was I was pretty upset about
it. Oh, so you pitched for funding?
Yeah, I pitched for funding.
Okay.
I looked at the pitch deck
What'd
recently.
You ask for?
I don't know. I forgot.
Oh, really?
I just remember it
100K
sucked
to 10%.
So bad. It sucked so bad. But I don't regret it at all because that fueled a fire in me. I was I was real mad. Oh, I'm going to prove these guys wrong.
That business is still going.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm still in the space now.
Yeah.
Don't want to do anything else. It's literally my life right now. So, yeah.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. So, Ollie and I did the second year. And, I think the biggest shift was that, you had Miss Russell. She was great. I knew her. And then she went to another school. She got another job. And then we had Aunt Ford come in. So this was quite an interesting experience because Aunt was never a teacher anywhere else before.
Well, we had 2 teachers.
Karen
was doing... Miss Russell was doing both the NCA and Open Ground side of things, whereas we had... And Ford and Lisa Keane.
Yes, of course, yeah. So she would come in. It was kind of the same. She'd come in for 1 period out of the 3.
Yeah.
And she'd do the schoolwork side of stuff. It was never the favorite. Sorry, Ms. Keane. but we, most of us just wanted to get on with running our businesses and doing that stuff.
Yeah.
It was there for ticking the boxes, right? But, yeah, Ant was great because he wasn't a teacher. The first thing I remember he said when he came in was, "My name's Ant. I'm not Mr. Ford," and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
we
were okay, we
like
this
guy.
Casual,
yeah.
Yeah, and he had so much real-world experience, so many connections. He wasn't an entrepreneur, and he'll tell you that himself. He's not an entrepreneur, but he is definitely a business person. And, he's really – I don't know what Miss Russell was like, but it was kind of interesting at the start, him sort of working out, how to take control of a class of 30 boys.
Yeah.
And then
he's never been a teacher, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a bit different,
So –
Besides that as well, and he's really, really good guy. He
yeah.
was just, you could talk to him about anything, whether it was business or something else,
yeah.
or he was really understanding and really good guy. So
Absolutely.
It just, I don't know, fostered an environment that was, nice to be in. Mm. And
yeah, it was great. And we had guest speakers coming in, every sort of couple of weeks as well.
Mm.
We did the mentoring matchup, I think.
A little bit later,
I think 6 or 8 weeks in. So we had a bit of time to actually realize and work out what we want to do. And then once we did that, we got the mentor matchup. He pushed us hard to like keep meeting with them and stuff like that. He's like, guys, like, you're going to regret it if you don't. They're really good connections to have and they want to help you, you know? So he really like did push us on all that side of things just because he's been there and he's done that. So.
Then we would have had guest speakers probably like every week.
Yeah, we had a lot of guest speakers. Yeah.
So it's probably a bit more than you.
Probably, yeah.
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 And maybe I'm just remembering wrong.
Yeah.
That's probably the case, to be honest.
Yeah. So, Yura, how does what we've told you compare to your experience? In
I'd say the biggest difference is that I have two periods compared to three.
Yeah.
And that means I have an extra subject that I have to focus on.
Okay.
And less time.
Yeah.
It so is you take a bit unfortunate.
Five subjects.
Yeah, I take five subjects.
We took four, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Ant was talking to us a lot about how he wants to, you know, restructure the program for next year. I mean, how many applicants were there? There was about 60 or something like that for the program.
Yeah, that was
which is just crazy. You can see,
I
like...
I thought it was more than that.
It might have been more.
Yeah, it might have been more than that. Yeah. And they only accept 25.
I wonder how many is going to be this year.
Yeah.
For next year.
I think it's going to be over.
Year 12. And he said half the people he knows are applying for it.
Like, really?
Wow.
Probably be over 100.
I think so.
I think so. That's what he was talking to me about. And then whether you can have... two separate kind of like streams, like two different classes.
Oh, okay.
Nah, bro, cut them out. Cream of the crop.
Okay.
I think it would be a good idea, like what Bill's talking about, is to start it as young as possible, like year 11 or something, so that when you get to year 13, like kind of what you both had, is that you already have a business up and running.
Absolutely.
But I definitely think the first 6 months is just a bit of trial and error.
Yeah.
And if you're coming to Open Ground year 13 with a business, you can just make so much progress within that year.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, most businesses really, they take a while to take off.
Yeah.
Like properly like foster it into a business. It's not happening in like, you know, a term or two.
Yeah.
Right. I think the expectation is like by the end of the year, every business should be at market.
Mm.
But, you know, like you think about some of these tech businesses, they don't get to market for like 2-3 years
yeah,
or stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that sometimes. So it's all different. But I think Open Ground's really like the perfect place to learn how to be an entrepreneur. And I think, you know, although most of us are doing stuff that we started in there, there's also a lot of other people who started something in Open Ground, got a taste of what it was like, realized it wasn't for them, and then either decided, oh, hey, I'm actually not an entrepreneur, but I've got a much better understanding of how a business works, and they're then so much more valuable in a corporate space because they can just think about things from a different mindset compared to that employee mindset.
Mm.
That's where they become real value.
I can still have entrepreneurial thinking and work for someone else.
Absolutely,
right?
Like, yeah. And then there's also been the other set of boys who have started a business, realized that business wasn't the best idea, but they're definitely an entrepreneur, and they've started something else. I mean, you guys have both started other businesses after Open Ground as well. I started something different. I sold my last business. So that is part of it, right? It's restarting. You've had your dropshipping phases and whatnot.
Failed miserably, but
it's all part of learning though, right?
Yeah,
you don't
really
actually
was.
Lose, especially at our age. You know, we're 18.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 18, 19. 20 maybe, 19, 19. Yeah, 17. We really don't have a lot to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing I love about Open Ground is just the practical element that you didn't get in year 11 and 12 business studies. You probably found the same. I guess you have the one like market day where you get to sell a product. And I remember when we did it together and we sold diffusers, that was kind of my first taste of it, but that's kind of all you got throughout the year, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I think, yes, you need to know the theory behind a business, but a lot of it is just going out and trying something and failing, and that's the best way to learn, you know? And that's what I loved about Open Ground is that it was kind of like, it was okay to fail. It was almost like fail fast because you learn more, right?
Yeah,
100%. 100%. 100% agree with that, Ollie. It is just getting out there and doing it. You can plan all day, and it is important to plan,
100%.
But at the same time, you're not going to know until you do.
Yeah.
So, I just want to circle back.
Yeah.
So, do you do all of the NCA work at the start of the year now, or is it different? How does that work?
We just finished our marketing plan, which was a 6-credit internal, and just before that, we basically just went back to back.
Yeah.
I think we're just trying to crush it as fast as we can just so we can go back to our business.
Is it like they try to get through all the internals as quickly as you can, then you just get to focus purely on what you're doing with your business, and then towards exams, then you actually start learning the content for the exams?
Yeah.
Because what we had is we learned the content for the exams in term one, did our internals, and then came back to the exam content. Whereas, I think the structure is definitely improving. And obviously, as the years will go by, it will get better and better.
Yeah.
And like even though we were in the second year, it was still Ant's first year, so he was still learning himself. But I think as the years goes by, it will get really, really good. Yeah.
And what was the mentoring process like for you, though? Did you do the speed dating
thing?
Yeah,
was
it different?
Still there.
Okay.
And kind of just had someone in mind for me.
Okay.
So as soon as I went and I went went to Richard Stevens, my mentor, great guy. He was just like, it just clicked. He's such a good guy. He has, you know, he has experience in the floral industry, and he's like,
okay,
we should definitely connect. And we just knew to put each other down as our first options. But what's funny is that now Anne is doing all the NCAA stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's qualified to do that now.
Oh, okay. So now it's just Anne doing it. Okay, that's interesting. How is he like managing that, like balancing between schoolwork and business? Like,
lesson versus lesson? Or
yeah,
is it just,
yeah. Lesson is just for speakers. Lesson is just to do business work.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to hear about what you've said. And then, so like with your mentor, are you meeting? Mm. And sorry, actually, I'm going to circle back. When you said about how Ant's like structured it all out, to be honest, I think that's probably what works best for most boys. Because, I mean, 100%. It can be easy to get distracted or get onto this or that, especially when you're starting up. Obviously, like, you get more motivated than ever. Like, you should be working on it all the time. I'm sure all of us did, right? Mm. Outside of school. It's not just in those two periods before school and other lessons. but, you know, having that structure is also important because you need to know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You can just go in circles.
Just going back to what you said, and I'm sure you've seen this, but and Ant talks about this, but just seeing boys like light up, you know, and get so energized by the ability to have their own business and have some sort of purpose connected to it. It's it's pretty cool just seeing the energy as people walk into that classroom, you know, a big smile on everyone's faces.
Yeah. Yep.
And sometimes the opposite as they walk out. But,
yeah. No, it's great. And so like you're meeting with your mentor, because I think for most of us, we would normally meet with mentors like either at a cafe or they'd come to Open Ground or something like that. Is that still what's going on?
Yeah. Primarily meet at the Open Ground room.
Yep.
But there are a lot of boys this year that just aren't connecting with their mentors and just not making the full out of their mentorship program. But so Anne has been really reminding us throughout the year. You have to contact your mentor, or at least if you don't really want to be, you know, their mentee anymore, at least make it clear to them.
I technically had two. So I got assigned a mentor, and then I really liked this other guy, and so I kind of like adopted him as well because his mentee wasn't talking to him. And so I would talk to both of these guys multiple times every day for a year. That was so helpful.
Well, they kind of just match the energy that you put into them, right?
Yeah,
they're not
going
to chase you to
like meet spam up, but them heaps. I feel really bad, but I hope they're proud now, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think make the most of your mentors, definitely, if you're an Open Ground student, if you're going into Open Ground, because these are real-world business people. They've got the connections.
Yeah.
They could be, you know, the make or break to what gets your business off the ground.
And particularly in New Zealand, it's such a small place. Like, someone knows someone that can help you, right? Whether it's, your dad's friend or your friend's dad's friend. You know, it's just you're not that far away from having someone that can really get you started and get you off the ground.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's actually going into my next conversation topic that I've got written down here. So it's talking about just the connections and, you know, leveraging that through Open Ground. So from my personal experience, Open Ground helped me a lot. When I was selling my original business, Maintenance Mates, like I was talking about, never sold a business before at 17. So I was sort of unsure on what to do. And Ant actually managed to put me in contact with a senior partner lawyer, which was really good. So he's normally, you know, billing out quite an expensive hourly rate, but he was all just there to help me and help my business, which was like really good because I couldn't afford that. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. Mm-hmm. And so it's just all these people that come in and want to support you guys. And then also when I started Willbot, I should mention, my first client was Westlake through Open Ground. So, you know, did it for free, obviously, paid for it out of pocket. But it was great just to have that testimonial and that name on my website because it really is a good proof of concept. Obviously, Westlake's like a pretty big school. It's a good brand. And then also managed to get in with Wireless Nation, which has been, you know, helping me heaps. Did a lot of work with them. So these are all things that really started through Open Ground. And I think it would be so hard to do that on my own without having this like super extensive network. So, I mean, I don't know. I was wondering if you guys have any similar stories to how you managed to benefit from these connections or
anything
like that.
For me, I genuinely think the best thing about Open Ground is the connections, yeah. right? Like, I can share a similar example. Bill lives in an apartment complex, and he just gave me the opportunity to quote to wash his the roof of his apartment complex. And, you know, it's a 5-6-story building, right? Mm. And I went and figured out all the gear I'd need. I had to go and do, you know, a course, like working from heights course to get my license. Had to go and buy harnesses and all these things. But I actually managed to get that, through his help, get that quote approved, and I was able to do the job. And I just made the most of it whilst doing the job, just getting photos. And it was like what you said, just that first kind of job to get you
that anchor started.
Yeah, that testimonial. So now I've got a website where it looks really professional. And I've also learned so much whilst doing that, that now I've gotten other jobs because people look at the website and it's like, okay, you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about. Whereas if I didn't have that, it's kind of like, where do I start? And sometimes you just can't break into the industry if you don't have that first person open that door for you.
Yeah,
and again, yeah, through that, I met a building manager who has other buildings that need cleaned, and it's just one door leads to another one, you know? So, yeah, I just think the networking opportunities that you get through Open Ground and the people you meet is by far the best thing, at least in my experiences.
Yeah, so. 100%, yeah. Couldn't agree more, like, and it snowballs. It snowballs so fast and so quickly. Like, there was one of the his name's Dev Sony. He's a really good guy. Sugar Wallet, he's raised millions and millions. He's doing so well. He was one of the panelists at the very beginning. I just talked to him, and then it just snowballed from there. Like, put me to Mahesh from Phase One, and then he put me into the startup space, and then those startup guys, like some of them are my friends now as well. And these guys are like big dogs in the Kiwi startup space, huge founders, and the fact that I can, like, they're one text away is crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely if you're an Open Ground student, you'd be dumb to not LinkedIn hustle everyone. Absolutely. You don't know where it can lead you. Yeah. Like, I nearly got I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I nearly got a job.
Second time you said that.
Yeah, with Kiki, formerly known as Easy Rent. They raised 10 mil, I think 6 or 7 months ago. Really good first round or second round. And they were hiring, and he was going to send me to New York to work with him on a good salary. As like an 18-year-old kid who hasn't done anything with his life. Like, that's insane.
No qualifications.
Yeah, literally zero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't know where it can lead you. So, just LinkedIn hustle your...
Why didn't you go?
They had kind of internal issues, and they just need to sort out things within their business. Because what they kind of found is that they didn't hit product market fit in New York. They had it in Australia. It's super different in New York.
Yeah.
And so the worst thing you can do when people don't love what you already have is to hire more people, because then you just build on something that sucks. So yeah, that's what they did, and it's a great decision. They're doing really well now. And honestly, a great decision for me as well, because spending heaps of time on LeadCraft Digital, and that's going super, super well. And I hope to continue that for the next couple of years, make it my main gig. Yeah.
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 How about you, Yaron? What was it, coming back to the question?
Back to the question was just, you know, from your guys' experience, how has Open Ground helped you connections-wise?
And
You get 2 weeks ago or last week, we had a speaker come in, Justin Smith. He's a digital marketer and a strategist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best ones we've had so far, just great presentation. Have you guys...
We had him, yeah. Beanie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radio stations, right?
But I connected with him on LinkedIn, and I just wanted to know more about his journey on a personal level.
Nice.
And he basically told, I'll just get the quote out. He basically told me, if I can find it, embrace every experience, even the unexpected. Only then will you uncover your real strengths and passions. It was a few paragraphs long, but that's what it boiled down to.
Mm.
And it was just so eye-opening for me, because I'm kind of at the point where I don't know what all my strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm.
So it's just really helpful just to know what I want.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was, you know, reassuring that, you know, with experience and time, you will figure out who you are.
Mm.
So it was, the connections you get through Open Ground are just gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? It's like, it's you know, obviously I would never take anything away from teachers. Teachers do a great job. But, you know, business and entrepreneurship is something that they just don't have any experience in, you know, whereas like these real world people coming in can tell you these things. It's a completely different perspective. And, you know, it's really good to have a mix of both of them. And you just learn so many different things that you just wouldn't learn in business studies, right? So, no, that's really cool that you made the most of those connections. Guys, if you're doing Open Ground or you're going into Open Ground, you got 1 year. Make the most of everyone. Because I've had similar stories to Paulo, actually. I was thinking about it when you told me, where I've just been introduced, like I got introduced to Wireless Nation, and then I got introduced to some other startup founders through that as well, who are doing some really cool stuff also in AI. And it just snowballs, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Connections is everything.
And I think being young makes such a big difference. People are very willing to help.
It does.
And like I said before, if you put the energy into them, they're willing to put the energy into you. So definitely, yeah, make the most of being young.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, guys. So I thought next thing we could talk about was, I know I've definitely experienced some challenges when I was at Open Ground. There was some unexpected things that just come up when you're running a business. Do you guys have any sort of stories, maybe like unexpected roadblocks or challenges that you didn't really expect to face, and like how you sort of overcome them?
Yeah, I'll go first if that's right. I guess the biggest one that I had, I always thought kind of, you know, partnerships, one plus one equals 10, right? Like if you combined and come together, you'll be way more productive, be able to do more, make more money. And through my experience, so I obviously started with Finn, doing the pressure washing thing, and that fizzled out quite quickly, ended up just being me. So, and we were so early, it was easy to kind of just transition there, and he went and did something else. But then kind of further down the line, as I was starting to make more money, my friend Alex, obviously you were in business with him.
Yeah, back in the sort of, before we sold the business.
But anyway, he had a kind of a window cleaning business, and I was more house washing, and we kind of, you know, had a conversation about why don't we combine forces and do this together. And it just taught me it's not as simple as just coming together, combining forces, and, you know, sailing off and making all this money together. We had a lot of kind of not problems, but just deciding, you know, what's fair, what percentage do I give you, and for how much. And then once we decided it, it just, it doesn't run as smoothly as you think it did. Like, I felt like I was doing more work, and then it just, if someone's more engaged and someone's not, you start having small arguments here and there, especially when it's not 50-50. It's kind of like, well, if I own 60% and you own 40%, do I do 60% of the work while you do 40%? You know, it's kind of like, how does that work? And the thing that we did quite smartly was, rather than sign any contracts from the beginning, we just had a handshake agreement, like, this is how much I want to sell it to you for, this is how much you'll get, and let's just do 6 months of just working as if we've already made that deal. But if anything falls through, or one of us feels like it's not working, we can pull out without there being any, you know, consequences, or one feeling like someone screwed over the other person, you know. So I guess my point, just coming back to that, is just be careful with who you want to go into business with, and you know, you're not trying to make friends in business, you know, you're trying to make money, as bad as that sounds, but don't just do it because he's your friend, you know, and don't just give away 50% because he's your friend. If you know your value and your strengths, just make sure you remember that when you're going to talk to someone about having a partnership, because you don't just want to throw away something, sign a contract, and then a year or two down the line have that problem, you know. You rather take longer to figure out that partnership, but have exit strategies and not get caught up in something that could then ruin that friendship, you know, because friendships are important, and sometimes it can just be messy when you tangle that with business. So that's one of my experiences, I guess.
I think stemming from that, I've had some partnerships not work out in the past, and I've talked to some people who have had partnerships work and not work. And I think the only thing, that aside from skills and strengths and weaknesses, it's actually just about like trust. You just need to trust the guy. If you trust the guy 120%, you should work together, regardless if you're friends or not. That's what I truly believe in. Like, Alex, we're really good mates. I can talk to him. I can hop on a call with him. Hey, I'm having a bad day. Can we have a chat? But at the same time, I also trust him with my life. Like, I could give him my car, give him my house, and I know he's not going to be any shady thing with that. And he'll do the same for me. So, if if any open ground students are looking for other people, just look for or think about people who you'll trust with your life, essentially. And then everything else will just come naturally.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think the thing to add on to that as well, that I remember you said earlier about you and Alex, is, you know, similar values. Trust is important, obviously, but different skill set is also, I think, pretty important if you want to get into business together. Because if you've got two people that are the exact same, you got two strengths, two sets of strengths and two sets of weaknesses that are the exact same. If you can combat each other, which was quite good with my business partner and I, Caleb, you can leverage each other's expertise and really make the most of it.
100%, yeah.
And I think, yeah, definitely, like, especially when you're young, right? You want to, like, do stuff with your mates. You want to work hard. But it comes back to, like, really thinking it through and, yeah, just making sure that it's going to be a right fit. But glad to hear that you and Alex are going great together and stuff.
The only bit I just add on top of that, again, to the open ground students, is before you go and do something, just have a cool-off period of, like, 2 or 3 months where instead of signing anything, you just work at it and then make a decision. Because a lot of people, especially like you said, when you're young, it's really exciting. And doing it with a friend can be, you know, the most exciting thing in the world. But you just don't want to rush into something too soon. It's better to just, you know, take your time before you go and...
Guys, the best thing to do, I think, about this, that sort of thing, is talk to your mentors. Because they will know.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Talk to your mentors. Say, hey, what's the best way we set this up? You know, we want to work together. We don't know we're going to be good.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you because... you know, they know. They've probably been there and done that before. So, Euro, you experienced any challenges throughout Open Ground so far?
Same with partnerships. Like, I was definitely considering a partnership. It's just so much easier in an aspect that way, regarding the disregarding the other consequences. But I decided to work on myself, knowing all the things that could happen. I just have to communicate back and forth for permission, and it's just can get real messy.
Yeah.
But the bad thing about that is that I'm having to do everything. And I just found that I can't do everything, right? Mm. And I've been a bit greedy, like not wanting to get help because I want to learn marketing. I want to learn SEO. So I recently just haven't been marketing at all, but we've still been getting consistent sales through SEO. But that's definitely a big issue. But I'm just prioritizing learning over earning.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's the thing when you run a small business, right?
Yeah.
You wear all of the hats, especially as a startup. You're the CFO, you're the CEO, you're the CMO, you're everything, right?
Yeah.
And it is kind of good, I think, that way. And it leads back to that point of, like, when you go as an employee, as an employee, maybe later in life, you're going to be so much more intelligent. But even if you stay as an entrepreneur, you're going to get an understanding of all these different people. So when you do hire your own CMO, your CFO, everything like that, you've got a much better understanding of, like, what actually needs to be done. You know you're not going to get scammed, right?
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing about being an entrepreneur and starting a business. And, you know, doing it alone, because I've experienced both now, is harder because 100% accountability is on you. If you're not doing well, it's your fault. If you're not doing this, you're not doing that, it's your fault. There's no one to blame. When there's a partnership, it's easy to be, you were supposed to do this, you were supposed to do that. But it is different, and I think it's interesting to hear that. But you know, you'll be fine if you're doing it and you're learning before earning. That's the most important thing.
I'm just interested. Just a question for, like, I think I know your answer to this, but what do you think for you is the likelihood that this, like you said, you just stay as an entrepreneur and this is kind of your thing? You know, whether it's your date or your other business or something in the future. Do you feel like, not a calling, but like, do you feel like this is right for you?
Oh yeah. 100%. I will live and die by the blade.
Yeah.
Bro. Like, hopefully my parents won't be too mad at this, but I think they're slowly starting to realize it now. But this is all I'm going to do. I really love it. And I wouldn't want to do anything else. And how I knew that I didn't want to do anything else and that I truly loved it was that when everything was so bad and it sucked so bad, and it's like 12 a.m., neglected your friends, you're trying to, like, put out fires in your business, like, you wouldn't want to do anything else. So I think hopefully, I know, not hopefully, like, this will be the path for me for a long time. Maybe this is naive to say, but don't want to do anything else. So hopefully next 2 years and then exiting uni, we'll have the kind of business LeadCraft Digital doing super well.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you? Yeah, same boat as Polo. It's just, I like making lists. I like being organized. and entrepreneurship is all about being the organizing force, I would say. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna keep doing this. Maybe I'll work under people for a long time just to learn as much as I can. But yeah, but going back to the problems, I also did have another issue with my business.
Yep.
Because Bloomflower is such a seasonal business, like people only get flowers for balls, weddings, you know, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. I got my peak, I got a few hundred sales during May. And it was just so many orders that, you know, the notification sound that Shopify makes when you get to go, ka-ching, ka-ching.
It's a good sound, right?
Yeah, I just fell in love with it. And
fair enough.
I just fell into this routine of just packing orders, shipping it out, contacting customers for weeks and weeks. That when the season fell off, I'm like, what am I doing? Where's the sound? It's not playing anymore. But yeah, a chat with your mentor and aunt can solve anything. So I had a chat with them and they just reminded me of my long-term vision. And I just learned that, you know, when your business isn't going according to plan, you have time to focus on the long-term stuff. So yeah, that's what I learned.
No, that's definitely how it's like, especially at the start. You know, it's all going well and then something happens, season changes, whatever it may be. I remember with gardening, we started it in summer, making all this, like pretty much straight away, we started doing really well. And we were like, wow, this is great. You know, we're going to get a team. We're going to get a van. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then it starts getting a bit colder. And people all of a sudden like start caring a little bit less. And we're like, oh, shit. Yeah. But you know what? The interesting thing is it gives you the opportunity to adapt, right? It's having that like survival instinct, like, okay, what are we going to do now? And that's how we started learning about other ways to market, how to, you know, keep people for longer. So we started maintenance plans, which is where they do a job, you know, we'll do it every month, every 2 weeks, whatever it may be. So there are all these things that we just sort of, you learn along the way, but it is like you say, right? It's that those sales coming in the door definitely do get addicting, and it gives you the passion, right?
Yeah. I can 100% relate to the seasonal business, right? Like cleaning through summer, everyone's wanting to get their house cleaned up, their friends coming over for Christmas or whatever. It's like, obviously, in winter when it's cold, it's when the moss and mold grows. So after that, you kind of want to get cleaned off. And then it goes into winter and it's like just completely stops. And it's like, yeah, the same thing. It's like, what do I do now? But I just think in every kind of negative situation or downfall, there's always an opportunity to do something else. And for me, that was to seek other work through commercial. And getting contracts rather than going out and spending more on advertising. So I just think there's always an opportunity when something goes wrong as well.
100%, yeah.
You did some similar things, right, with the, like, restaurant partnerships, or even, like, was the friend box originally there and stuff? Like,
No.
So that was all just through development of,
that was through development,
Did it come from having less sales that you thought, I want to expand to something else?
Or? People just asked me.
So you're just always on the high.
I guess so, of course, there's the seasonality with Valentine's, et cetera, but I don't really market, or I don't want my brand to be focused on that. Like, you can get your partner a gift anytime, or you can just, like, you'd have a date with your partner, you don't do that just on birthday unless you're a bad boyfriend. You don't do it just
once a week.
Like, you can do it once every month or once every couple of weeks, and that's the thing that I kind of encourage.
100%.
Absolutely. There's an interesting point to take out of that as well, which is like product market fit. I mean, you know, you never really know until doing market research is certainly important, probably one of the most important parts. You need to know if that market's actually going to be there and then how you're going to service it. But then, you know, going to market, you will find out what people actually want, and servicing those demands is like the core foundation of what you need to make a successful product or service into a business, right? So, that's really cool, guys. Interesting to hear.
You want
to
move on? I just had a thought come to mind. Remember when we were talking in the cafe shop about how we both experienced just way more cost than you ever planned out for, you know? I just was curious if you guys have found the same thing, that even I've made really, really detailed financial plans and you go, okay, this looks really good. Like, this is really profitable. And it just, everyone's trying to clip the ticket and there's always more costs than you really ever forecast, right? I just wonder if you guys have had same experience with your businesses.
I don't know about I think for us it's more straightforward. Well, for me it's mainly straightforward, but I think in terms of plan, like you said, financial plan, Same with business plans, actually. Business plans, marketing plans, any plan. For me, or maybe I'm just a bad planner, but 3/4 or nearly all of the time, they don't go to plan.
Yeah.
So that's just the nature of business. Mm. Nothing really goes to plan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if it was me being naive, but just when I was starting a business, you don't realize that you've got to pay for a website subscription. You've got to pay for an accountant. Yeah, you've got to pay for even just transaction fees with Stripe. They couldn't think
it. Like,
zero. There's everything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it looks like you're making money at the start. It is kind of, that's like the thing with those service businesses, isn't it? Like you start, it's not really a business, and it's like, oh, we're making loads of money.
Yeah.
And then you turn it into a business. It's like, where'd all that money we were making go? But it's part of the experience, and it's that's the real world business education that you get, which is so good.
And just the people I've spoken to, it just seems the same in every case, you know. And now that I've done a few businesses, I found it's the same. It's just it's never as profitable as it.
As it looks
when you're first talking about it, but
yeah. So I think, you know, what Polo said, the plans don't go to plan. You're right, but it is important to have some sort of plan. I definitely found that. I used to kind of have the opinion like, oh, who needs a business plan? Just like, you know, I got it in my head. but then when I was like, I actually learned from a mentor, Tom. He said, no, you've got to have a business plan. And it's got to keep evolving. It's got to keep changing, because otherwise, if you don't, I think it's really easy. And I've caught myself doing this as well. To sort of just end up going around in circles,
100%.
You know? You don't really know where you're going. At least if you've got like a direction, you can put in some KPIs in place even for yourself to make sure that you're meeting the benchmarks and stuff to make sure that you're achieving those goals that you want to achieve.
Mm.
So, yes, do they ever go to plan? For me, I haven't had one yet, but they keep changing, and it is a interesting exercise. I think they're definitely required.
Definitely experience that going around in circles bit. Yeah. Like it's particularly when you're working by yourself, like you said, you found like you have to keep yourself accountable, right? And if you start slacking off, you can just end up kind of not really progressing anywhere. So I guess that's where a business partner can be helpful, but otherwise just keep updating your plan at least. Have a plan,
How have you found plans, Euro?
And always encourages us to update our lean canvas model.
Yep. Yeah. Ant loves the plans. I never listened to that, but looking back now, I'm like, I should have listened to Ant more.
Yeah.
It really
lean canvas and pitch deck.
Yeah, you're right. I think so too.
What is it? He always be ready to sell. Like always have your
elevator
pitch.
Elevator pitch. Yeah. What's your elevator pitch, Euro? Good thing he's not here.
Sorry, Ant.
I'm joking. Cool, guys. So I think the next thing, like, it would be cool to talk about is, you know, obviously, like we were just saying, plans and stuff change, they evolve, but, you know, we've all got some sort of idea. Like, where do you guys see yourselves and your businesses going in the future? And, you know, how is that different to what you originally set out? Or maybe it's the same, I don't know.
Robbie, start? Yeah.
Go on.
Well, with your day, I always knew just the nature of, a business like that, a product business that's focused on consumers. I didn't want to do it long term.
Yep.
So I always wanted to do something digital and something B2B because B2B is super simple. People want to save money, make money, save time, or stay out of jail. And it's just linear. It just makes sense. So that's why me and Alex entered the B2B space.
Yeah.
And it's just simple. Just make them money or save them time. Like, it's literally what we do for our clients at the moment. What was the question?
Future plans.
Future plans. Oh, yeah. So
you're doing, Facebook ads for roofers,
yeah,
right?
So we've
just for roofers or?
We want to stick to that niche at the moment, but we can expand to that. So kind of what we do is we're more of now a holistic growth system for these roofers. So we found that getting them leads isn't enough. They need systems to close it. They need systems to nurture the leads. They need systems to basically make money off the leads. And so now we're more of a holistic growth partner in the sense that bringing them leads and doing that Facebook ads is just one part of the process. That's like a quarter of it. We have a whole, like a bunch of other systems to help them actually make money off it. Because unfortunately, these guys and the tools, these tradies, are not so good on the business side. They're good with their hands, but when it comes to digital marketing and the quotes, et cetera, they're not so good at that. So that's going really well. We've started launching ads in the past couple of weeks and got so many booked appointments. My schedule is looking very packed. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be doing around 21, 22K per month.
Wow.
And obviously, since it's a digital service-based business, that's like 85 to 90% profit. Yeah. So,
that's extremely high.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hopefully heading into Australia in the next month.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just bigger, it's just better.
Yeah,
charge
yeah.
more for clients, make them more money.
Would you say that you... So that's really good, man. Congrats. Well, it seems like it's been going really well. Would you say that you took a lot of what you learned from your date with consumer marketing and then applied that with the roofers or not so much?
Yes and no. I think the learnings from just being a business owner and having that confidence, huge.
Yeah.
And also falling in love with the customer is very important.
Yes.
Even though they're B2B, they still have feelings. They are still people.
Mm.
And you need to truly find their pain points. And of course they want to make money, but why do they want to make money? Support their family, support this, make more for, I don't know, a holiday or something.
Mm.
But with your date, I really had that focus of falling in love with the customer and really getting to know them. And we still do the same with our clients now. Like we don't operate on we'll give you money and we'll check in like once every 2 months. We have weekly calls to ask them questions and improve our service and just have a yarn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That it is really important, especially when you're on like a recurring business model with B2B, to develop those good connections, because that's just going to reduce your churn and
100%.
Make it last so much better. And also, I guess, ethical, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So if I just become a roofer, you'll fall in love with me?
What's going on here?
I don't actually mean fall in love, but in a sense, yeah.
Learn about what they need and
just
get to know them really well.
You'd be surprised. Like,
do you ever do friend boxes with your clients?
With my clients? No, I actually sent them a box.
Oh, you sent them one? Oh, that's good.
Cool. Clients, yeah.
Can use both.
Okay. No, that's cool. That's really cool to hear. Euro, what about yourself? What do you think about future plans for you and your business? What's the growth plan?
I definitely want to grow Bloom Flower until it's just self-sustainable without me.
Yep.
And then I want to just stop growing it because before I started Open Ground and I picked Bloom Flower to, you know, grow.
Yeah.
I always thought of it as just a learning vessel, to learn as much as I can, because I don't want to be stuck in that product designing stage like a lot of students are. And yeah, so I just want to learn as much as I can, because I'm not passionate about flowers. I'm passionate about using
about
my creativity.
The stripe sound.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Make it your alarm.
I'll wake up so happy every morning. But I'm passionate about, you know, using my creativity to solve problem, and that applies for Bloom Flower. I love doing Bloom Flower, but I just know there is something else out there that I can just do what I love, just like Bill and Ant, you know?
Yeah, you're completely right. You know, like, I've worked out the other day, Wilbot is my eighth attempted, like, business. Wow. Yeah, starting with selling sweets at school to a whole bunch of other random things that I lost a lot of money on. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it is like, it is about finding that thing, failing fast, and, who knows what the future may hold for you. Yeah. So it's cool that you, you've got something in plan. Ollie, what's your future plans?
Because
you got two businesses.
Yeah,
I've
got
two
businesses. So I'll start with Clean Properties. It really, similar to you, different to you actually, it started, I literally just wanted to make a little bit of money, just a side hustle at school. I didn't think pressure washing driveways and washing houses could lead to anything bigger than that, you know?
Yeah.
But it did. And I guess my goal for Clean Properties, obviously there's a number. My goal would be to make $1 million in revenue every year. And similar, set it up something where I don't have to be full-time on it. And that would kind of look like having about, particularly with commercial now, I'd want to have about 30 contracts in place with different buildings that you're washing twice a year.
Yeah, nice.
And, you know, if you're making around 10 or 15 grand profit off each job, that is about $1 million in revenue. So that'd be the goal with that one. But Charge-A-Go-Go is kind of the one that excites me. So I'm not sure, you probably haven't seen the actual product itself, have you?
No, Anne showed us on a slideshow.
Oh, really? Yeah. So
slideshows.
There's three different products. But yeah, CharGoGo, it is quite simple. It just keeps people's phone charged. Mm-hmm. And obviously nowadays, everything is on your phone, right? Your whole life is on your phone. And not sure about you guys, but when my phone dies, you do get a bit of anxiety, you know? Like, I can't be contacted. I can't contact people. You use it for whether it's busing, Ubering, just messaging people. You know, literally your whole life is on your phone. So that's kind of how it started for me, is that I'd be out and I'd always need my phone charged, whether it's just because I'm a little bit disorganized when I'm going out. But when I was in Europe, I saw the concept and I thought, you know, that's a great idea. Looked for it in New Zealand and didn't find much. So that's how the idea started. And we're actually a partner of a bigger company in America called CharGoGo. We're CharGoGo New Zealand, so we're the distribution partner. But yeah, it's a simple concept, but we've got about 100 machines on the way now. But my goal would be to be the biggest company in New Zealand and Australia that's servicing it. So the goal is to have about 1,000 machines. And the exciting part with it is that even though it's charging phones, there's also a screen on it. So there's opportunities to sell ad space.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two different kind of streams of income.
Yeah.
So that's where...
Some roofing ads on there or something?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, that's cool, Ollie. Yeah, Raul. So we've got some big aspirations here, which is... it's going to be exciting to see. I mean, that's something Bill and I talk about quite often, is like the alumni that's going to be coming out of Open Ground on its own is going to be so impressive, you know. When this program's like even like 5-10 years away, think about like where people at this table, or other people as well who, you know, easily could have been just as good on this interview, are going to be, because, and it all started from Open Ground, right? That support, that initial, you know, environment to help lift up young entrepreneurs and get them into a space. And I think it's going to be really cool to then, you know, in the future, even be able to give back to that. It's something I definitely want to do. I'm sure you guys feel the same. Like this podcast, you know, good promo, hopefully. So we just want to keep doing, I think, stuff like that. And it's going to be really interesting just to see how that program develops, as we do as well, and the people that come out of it.
I actually have a strong hunch. This will be, this a promo. Change my life, right? Like, I'd probably be sitting on a computer like coding or something.
Yeah.
But here I am now, like, with these good-looking men talking about business. Like, this is crazy.
Thanks.
And the people I've met at this age, it's so crazy. And I can really only attribute it to Open Ground. Like, if I didn't do that, man, I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
And I actually think, because you have Young Enterprise, right? Mm-hmm. And Young Enterprise is cool. But there have been a lot of Open Ground students that I've, like, talked to from my cohort, and I've just, like, thrown them into other startup spaces.
Mm.
And we're, like, always, nearly always the youngest in the room. Yeah. And everybody's looking at us like, whoa, what are these guys doing here? And we just tell them, we came from Open Ground. So I think the next 5-10 years are looking so promising. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people are seeing Open Ground, seeing these alumni, and being like, I'd go to Westlake just for Open Ground.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I'll give another promo if you want to Open
Ground. Yep.
But yeah, I was a little bit lost in year 12 and genuinely like just started. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, whether it was sport. I just kept on missing out on first teams and what it was. But when I started my own business, you just have like something ignite within you, and it just feels so like right. It gave me such a sense of a purpose that it just made everything else in my life better, you know, like my relationships with even my parents, my friends, my girlfriend. Like, you just feel like happier when you feel like you've got a sense of purpose, and genuinely Open Ground gave that to me, you know. And that's speaks one, it's past just business,
that,
it's like, you know,
so do I.
Your life. And I think it should be in every school across the world, really. I guess start small, get it into every school in New Zealand. But every single person I talk to, every parent I talk to, they'll go like, wow, that is amazing.
Exactly.
Either I wish I had that opportunity, or I wish I had that opportunity for my kids. You know, because, it may, like you said, people may go into that and go, okay, it's not for me. But at least they have the opportunity to try it, because like it's happened for us, it could turn into a lifestyle and be what we make our fortune off and what we end up doing for the rest of our lives, you know. So
I don't think anyone was worse off after Open Ground.
100%.
You know, I definitely don't think there was a single person where it made them a worse person
100%.
Afterwards.
I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, sorry, Yuri, would you like to?
Oh, should I give a promo?
You don't have to. I just, you look promos. Like you're going to
speak. Oh, no, I'll just...
Really okay, no worries. Yeah, well, I mean, I may as well, because it is a great program, and I'm very grateful
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, they should clip this, show this to the UTOS students, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
So 100%. Spike up. Yeah. I actually want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see how many people submit an application.
Because Bill talks about all the time, and I highly recommend anyone listening goes and listens to my podcast with him, because we speak more about this, but the school right now is not for everyone, and I think a lot of people feel that way. I felt that way. I was, you know, you can talk to my parents. I did not want to go back to school. Mm. After I started my business, I was like, no, I'm doing this full time. And then we heard about this program. It just came up. You know, you did the first year. You're a year above me. And my parents were like, just stay for this. And I was like, okay, I'll stay for this. This actually looks quite cool. Yeah. And I'm really grateful I did, because I know I'm a lot further ahead through doing that now than I would have been if I dropped out of school.
100%.
Mm. So
many people like envy me and my position, like, oh, you know, these guys are like 24 or 25.
Yeah.
They're just starting out. And they're like, man, I wish I was like 18, 19. I wish I was your age, like had that opportunity and started really early. So by the time like that I'm 25 now, man, I might have made like $1 billion or something.
Like, I genuinely don't think anyone's that much smarter than someone else when you're starting out.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these people that say, oh, I wish I could have done that, I don't know how you're in that place now, probably could have been in the same position if they had that opportunity, you know? So that's where I just think having that opportunity is the biggest part, whether it ends up working or not. But I think anyone could be an entrepreneur. You just need to find out if it's something that ignites you and whether it's something you're interested in. But
Completely. And, it's just like you said, like, Paula, you never thought of yourself as an entrepreneur. And then you did the program and then you realized, like, this is kind of your calling. And I think everyone's different. It is something that should be in every school in the world, 100%. Like you said, Ollie. It's because it's so unique. And I hope that it does get to that point one day. But, for the minute, we'll keep doing our bit.
Yeah. And, I mean, the world's changed so much in the last 40 or 50 years. Like, 40 or 50 years ago, it was a lot harder to start a business. But now you see, you know, even just drop shipping, you can do something just from your laptop. Yeah. You don't even need to have a physical business like yours fully online. So why isn't there more spaces to, you know, like what OpenGrad is, to kind of incubate people into that, you know? Yeah.
And now, like, doing it at this age is the perfect time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you've got nothing to lose. You don't have you don't have a wife or kids yet or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't got a mortgage. You haven't got all these things to worry about. You can start, fail, go to zero so many times before it actually matters.
100%.
And along that way, you will learn so much.
You're in that safe place. Whereas, you know, 5-6 years down the line, if you're doing full-time work, you've got a mortgage to pay, it's just
so much harder.
Harder to get into it.
There's so much time and energy now. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, you should be, like you said, at 15, right? But I think that's where it should be starting, around 15, 16.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So. Well, cool, guys. I think we got to start sort of bringing this to an end. But although we're all very young, relatively speaking, and we're all still pretty early in our entrepreneurial journeys, I think it would be cool to ask you guys this, because I ask every guest that comes on. What's one piece of advice you guys would give to entrepreneurs who are looking to start a business or are starting a business? We'll start with Paulo, who's the oldest.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Something simple. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. A lot of people know this about me, but I'm an executor.
Yeah.
I like how I just said, I don't make plans. I do make plans, but I don't really follow them. That's the most important thing about business. You can think about it. You can ponder on it. You can dream about it. If you don't actually do anything, nothing's going to happen.
No.
So you have to execute. And that's the one thing that separated me from everyone else in my class, is that I just took action. And I just did. So just take action. That's all I can say,
100%, that's a great point.
Completely agree with that. Go
just
on.
Doing it. I've been saying it all podcast, but I think the best thing that you can do is use your network that you already have, even if it's just your parents, who they know. You are just so close to finding someone that can help you, that can transform your life and give you that one opportunity, the snowball effect, opening one door that opens another. Just use the fact that you're young, and just put energy into people and they'll put it back into you. So that's my biggest point.
My advice would be just to get started. Like, create your own opportunities. Don't just wait for one. You might not have a program like OpenGrad available at your school, but you just got to get started. Like, 3 dropshipping stores failed miserably, but you still learn so much from it. You get the taste of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll never be the perfect opportunity.
Yeah. I agree with everything you guys said. I would have said something similar, but I feel like I'll say something. So probably my piece of advice that I would say to anyone listening that wants to get into entrepreneurship or starting a business or doesn't know how to start a business, we'll say, would be work out who you want to be, you know, and then work out how you're going to get there, right? And you don't have to know, like, everything. I want to work this job. I want to do this, this, this. But work out, you know, what do you want to get out of life and then work backwards and everything else. Do it fast. Do it, you know, manage the network, everything like that. All extremely important. So thanks so much, guys. I think that was a good episode.
Can I give a quick promo?
Give a quick promo.
Are you a year 12 student or younger and you have no idea what you're going to do in university? Come join Open Ground at Westlake. Why not? Even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, you can learn finance, accounting, marketing, so much more. Come to Westlake. Join Open Ground.
That's great.
That's great.
There we go.
That was really good.
That was great.
That was really good.
How much time do we have?
You keep going. No, yeah. Go. Give your advert.
No, I'm not doing Open Ground promo.
That camera right there.
That camera, is it looking at me?
I'm kidding.
I'm going to do one for Chargeogoga. Just talk about it.
Oh, well, I was going to get...
Oh,
I've got a spot for that,
okay,
don't worry.
I was like, I want to make the most of the time on...
Yeah, of course,
I
mean, yeah, don't worry, I've definitely made the most of it. Yeah,
that
cool.
Funny. That was so good.
That was really good. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That came out of nowhere.
You practice that?
I was just rehearsing it in my head.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, anyway, I mean, I say I've got a point here. It pretty much is this point. So thanks so much for coming on, guys. I think this has actually been a really good episode. It's quite unique, so I hope all the listeners and viewers, you know, enjoyed it. So once again, big thank you to Open Ground and Bill Smale for sponsoring this episode. If you want to find out more about the program, you can visit Open Ground website linked in the description, or you can go to the Westlake Boys High School website. I think they've got some information on it there. So before we wrap up, how can people find out more about your businesses, Polo, and, you know, maybe more about you if you'd like?
Follow me on polo.umali. Okay. You can just keep up with me there.
Yeah.
With yourday.nz on Instagram, and just with what I do in the future.
Cool. Yeah. We'll leave links to that in the description. Ollie, how can people find out more about
Post most of my business stuff and everything about my personal life on my Instagram, which is just ollie.linton. And my businesses, you can just search up cleanproperties.co.nz or chargeogoga.co.nz/home if you want to see the websites to those two.
Cool. Euro, how can people buy some bloom flowers?
Head over to bloomflower.co.nz to get your personalized dried flower arrangement or decoration. Thank you.
Awesome. That is actually really good. Wow.
I need to practice that. If anyone needs their house wash, though, or any building managers out there watching this, chargeogoga.co.nz.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, thanks, guys. That is coming to an end now on the time, but I think this was really great.
That was fun.
As always, if you're interested in how AI can revolutionize your business, check out willbot.ai for more information on our services. Link in description. Thank you for tuning into another episode of AI Willpower Business. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Stay tuned for our next episode. I'm having a really cool guest on, AI related. It's going to be a great episode again. Looking forward to it. See you next time.
Thank you.
I think that was quite